And I'm really, sometimes when you get emotional, you apologize. I don't apologize at all. So many burdens so many people carry. You long for that day, and I'm so grateful for it, and puts everything in perspective. Well, so, and I rarely, as you know, I rarely sing. I got these vocal issues, and that song, we finagled that song so it fit right in my range, and we don't get to sing that often, but it's a blessing. Some subjects, when the preacher starts talking about it, you already just feel like, oh no, oh no. And one of those subjects, sometimes I wonder if is when you talk about prayer, I wonder if we just feel like, oh no, because it becomes discouraging, because most of us can say our prayer life isn't what it ought to be. And no matter how much you pray, you say, I could pray more. I could pray more passionately. I could pray. And so you, oh, here he goes. He's preaching on prayer. And it's overwhelming. But that's not at all what God does when he tells us in his word about prayer. What God is doing when he tells us about prayer is God is inviting us to pray and lighting a fire of encouragement for us to pray. And so I'm going to have you turn in your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 7. You want to find verse 7, and we will consider through verse 11 of Matthew chapter 7 today. And I told you earlier, we've been in Adversity University. And I said, we've got to have a break from Adversity University. It's wearing me out. And so I wanted to take the time with you to talk about prayer. So you've turned in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. I'll begin reading in verse 7 when Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be given, or shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, when you read that, did you get the idea that Jesus was trying to instill guilt in us for not praying enough? I hope not, because that's not at all what Jesus is doing. In fact, Jesus is enticing us to pray. David Jeremiah, I read a book by him a number of years ago on prayer, and he described prayer as an adventure. And I thought, what a wonderful way to describe prayer. Prayer is an adventure of asking God and seeing what God would do. And so today, let's talk about what he calls the adventure of prayer. So let's pray, shall we? Now, God, we are coming and we are asking you to help us to understand prayer. And it was important enough to Jesus that he taught us about it. And it's important enough to you that you included it in your word. And it's important enough to us. And so we pray, O Lord, that your spirit would be our teacher, our guide, our encourager, that entices us to pray. And so it is by faith, yielded to the Holy Spirit, that we ask for you to help us in these moments. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the second great passage in prayer on this entire section of Scripture. Remember that Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is Jesus' sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a long sermon. And earlier in the sermon, he spoke on prayer in chapter 6, and his preaching on prayer ended with a prayer that many of you would know, the Lord's Prayer. And then he preaches a little more, and he comes back again to the subject of prayer in the passage that we just read. Now, I want you to notice that in this passage, Jesus tells us about the imperative of prayer. The imperative of prayer. And so we don't miss his point. Jesus says to us, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, these are all words of commanding invitation. There are three imperatives: ask, seek, knock. This is not a command that forces you to pray. This is a command where Jesus invites you to pray. And so our Lord wants us to ask. And when we're done asking, he wants you to keep seeking. And when you're done seeking, he wants us to keep knocking. And really, ask, seek, knock. And each of the letters of those words form the word ask. And that's what prayer is. Prayer, in part, is us asking. And I love to hear God's people ask. I wonder how much the Heavenly Father loves to hear his people ask. So Wednesday we had an intergenerational prayer meeting, and it was such a blessing because there were small groups, and we had places on each of the walls, signs up, and groups of different generations went to these places, and they prayed together, and hearing the voices of the people praying and those who came and were seeking God and were crying out to God for help and just sharing their heart with God and sharing that. It was such a joy to me. And I wonder how much it was a joy to the heart of God and how much it is when you come to him and say, my Father, I'm asking for your help. I'm needy you, Lord. I'm coming to you. And so Jesus invites us with this commanding invitation, ask, seek, knock. Have you ever noticed how children ask for things? They come boldly and passionately, repeatedly. If they really want it, they come. They do not fear asking. It's like the mom was one night was at a meeting, and so dad was home with their little guy, and his task, of course, was to put the little guy to bed. And he puts the little guy to bed, and then the whole routine starts. Dad, can I have a drink of water? So dad gets him a drink of water, goes back downstairs. A little later, Dad, can I have a drink of water? Dad brings him a drink of water. Now, son, do not ask again. You need to stay in this bed. Go to sleep. It's not too long later, dad hears the little guy's feet up there above him on the second floor. And he goes up those steps and he said, now, son, I'm going to put you in the bed. And if you get out of this bed again, I'm going to give you a whooping. And so he goes back downstairs after he puts the boy back in bed. Isn't too long again, he hears these feet moving above him on the second floor, and he's starting to get a little angry about it, and he's going to the steps, and he's working his way up the steps, and he hears a little voice cry from the second floor, Dad, while you're coming up to give me a whooping, would you bring me a drink of water? Just keep asking and asking. And you know, Jesus is reminding us, just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. These are commands of invitation. And then beside that, as Jesus is giving these commands, he gives these three words in one right after the other with an escalating intensity as you come and each time you ask, but then there's a go more intensely, seek, and not just that, knock. So there's an intensity in each of the words reminding us that we should not give up in praying, but continue steadfastly in asking God with greater passion. It's been many years ago now, our daughter Jessica, who sang this morning, She wanted to work at a camp in the summer between semesters of college. And she had a couple of places she could go, and she didn't know which one she should do. And she had a deadline, though. And she'd ask about it, and we'd talk about it. But the closer we got to the deadline, the more she would ask, and the more we would talk, and the more she was just intensely asking God, show me what I needed to do. Show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do. And when as it got closer, she increased in intensity. She was going through asking and seeking. Toward the end, she's knocking, Lord, I need to know, would you show me which door? And God invites us to pray. And we come to him and we continually ask with greater intensity, we seek, and then we knock. And we're saying, God, there's something that I just want you to show me. What would you have? Lord, what is it you want? God, would you do this on my behalf? And we keep coming. And as we come and increase this intensity, we just need to remember that as we do so, God is working on our behalf. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The story is told about a man who's a very intellectual lecturer. And he was visiting the home of a man who is a theology professor. And so the man comes to the home, he comes into the home, and they greet one another, they sit down to the table for a meal, and the theology professor is, before they eat, going to have a time of family worship, and he says, okay, before we pray, what are you praying for? And one of his little sons says, I'm praying for a tricycle. And so they prayed for their meal, and included in their prayer for the meal was a prayer for a tricycle. Well, this intellectual lecturer said to the professor, he said, I cannot believe that you would have your son and teach your son to pray to the great God of the universe for something as small and unimportant as a tricycle. And the professor said to him, well, I know the condition of your Ford. Do you ever pray for your Ford? He said, oh, I pray for my Ford all the time. How many of you pray for your Ford? Oh, maybe you do. I pray for my Ford all the time. He said, well, is your Ford any more important to the God of the universe than my little guy praying for a tricycle? Is there any reason that my little son should not learn to ask and see what God would do as he prays to the God of the universe? Can I tell you, small or big, and you know, we put things in categories of small and big, and I understand that. I think we all do, but listen, is there anything that is so small that it's not worth asking? Is there anything so big it's not worth seeking? Ask. Seek. Knock. The imperatives of prayer. Then can I tell you what else Jesus tells us? Jesus tells us about the influence of prayer. Because after telling us to ask and seek and knock, watch what Jesus says happens in verse 8. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. So that there's a comprehensive call that everyone should ask. Who's the everyone? Everyone could ask. You can ask. Now, Jesus, when he began this sermon, had a very specific target in his sermon. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, he goes up to this mountain, a high place. It's at the Sea of Galilee. You can visit the site where this took place in Israel. You can see the place. And he sits down, and when he was set, he said to his disciples, He was preaching the sermon for his followers to prepare them for the life that he had for them. And Jesus, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus gives these words to you. You can ask and receive. You can seek and find. You can knock and you will find that God will open doors for you. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize that he already has come knocking at your door? He's knocking at the door of your heart. He comes in the work of the Holy Spirit is to draw you to himself so that as he is working in your life, you see your need for Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, the only one, the God-man who could die and rise again from the dead to take your place, he did so for you. And the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart and he's bringing you to himself to bring you to a decision point. Will I receive Jesus Christ or not? When you receive Jesus Christ, you're born into his family. You're born again. And now as one of his kids, he invites, ask, seek, knock. And it could be that God is drawing you and bringing you to himself so that today is the day that I put my trust in Jesus Christ and born into his family. You can join those of us who have in his family. And for all of us, as we ask and we seek and we knock. But there's something else that Jesus is telling us here. He's telling us that prayer is comprehensive. Everyone can pray, but he tells us that prayer is certain. And I read these words, and I have to be honest with you that sometimes I read them and I doubt. Maybe you found yourself at times to doubt. And in verse 8, everyone that asketh receiveth, and ye shall, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So that Jesus makes a guaranteed promise, an ironclad promise, that if you pray, you are going to receive answers. You pray for God to open doors, God's going to open doors. Andrew Murray, in his classic work entitled With Christ in the School of Prayer, writes these words: ask and you shall receive. Everyone that asks receives. This is the fixed eternal law of the kingdom. If you ask and receive not, it must be because there is something amiss or wanting in prayer. Hold on. Let the word of God and the word and the spirit teach you to pray aright. But do not let go the confidence that he seeks to waken. Everyone who asks receives. Let every learner in the school of Christ, therefore, take the master's word in all simplicity. Let us beware of weakening the word with our human wisdom. And I have to tell you, I find a real battle in my own faith walk with God. I ask and I seek and I knock, and it seems as though at times he doesn't answer. But this is the promise of Jesus: when you seek, you'll find. When you ask, you'll hear. When you knock, God will open doors for you. So let me ask you about your prayer life. When's the last time that God answered prayer for you? Now again, I don't want you to just think of all the big things. But I wonder, are you finding that God is answering prayer to where it's a normal thing that you are spending time with God and you're just talking to him about everything in life and you're watching him show himself and answer your prayers? But you say, but Pastor, I pray and I don't get answers. I heard someone put it this way, or read someone put it this way once, and I thought it was helpful. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says, grow. And if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says, go. And there are times when God answers that prayer and it's so clear. But it's probably a good idea for us to realize that sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes it may be that it's just not the right time for it. And it may be that along the way I'm wrong. And God is even using what seems to me to be an unanswered prayer, or not a way that I want that prayer answered, or when I want that prayer answered, to work on me, to adjust my life to what he is doing as I pray. Well, Jesus tells us about the imperative of prayer and the influence of prayer. And then Jesus gives us some illustrations of prayer. Jesus is the master teacher, and he uses these illustrations to reinforce the truth that he's preaching on in this sermon. And he gives us these illustrations in verses 9 and verse 10. He says, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And let me explain this. In Jesus' day, loaves of bread were often just small, round, and they would look very much like a typical stone. And imagine that son, and he comes and says, Dad, could I have some bread? And he reaches down, Dad does, and picks up a stone. It looks like bread. Here you go, son. Well, no. If you're fishing with a net, you're fishing the Sea of Galilee. When you fish with that net, you're going to get some fish. I hope you get some fish. I don't really like fishing. I like catching. I like catching a lot. But unfortunately for me, to go to catching, I have to go fishing, and I don't want to go fishing. So if you're fishing, hopefully you're going to get a catch. So you take a net and you pick up fish in your net. But sometimes in your net, you're going to get water snakes. And so Dad gets a fish, and son says, hey, Dad, can I have a fish? And he reaches into the net. Sure, son, he pulls out a snake. Here you go, boy. Now, what dad is going to do that? What kind of a dad is going to do that? And then Jesus takes these illustrations and he applies them in verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Did you ever get the idea that I have to talk God into giving me something good? And prayer is like just beating the door down, making God give me what I want. And if that's your idea of prayer, you've missed it. Prayer is asking God for God to give you what he knows is best and what is good for us. It's saying, God, I want what's good, and I know that you'll give me what is good. I do not doubt your goodness and your wisdom, and so I'm asking and trusting you in this. God wants to answer your prayers, and he wants to give us those good gifts, that which is good and best for us. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that what I think is bread, God knows that that's really a stone. Now, I think it's bread. Lord, I want that bread. But I don't know what God knows. That my God knows that that is not that's not bread, that's a stone. And sometimes I'm saying, Lord, I want a fish. And what I think is a fish, God knows it's really a snake. So we have to learn to trust that what our God gives when we ask, though we may think it's bread, to us it may be a stone, it's bread. And when we ask, we may think we're asking bread, but God knows it's a stone, and we trust the wisdom of God. Because you wouldn't want to eat a snake. Most of you wouldn't. Some of you might. You don't want to eat a snake. You want to have fish. And so whenever God gives us fish, we need to trust him and thank him for it. Sometimes God holds back the fish and the bread. So we trust the goodness of our God and his wisdom. And we ask and God says no. We ask and God says not now. We ask and God says there's some things I need to work in your life about before that is yours to enjoy and yours to find the blessing of it. And even in the process, we find blessing because we can trust God. I knocked on that door and you chose not to open that door for me, but you kept it closed. Lord, I'm grateful because you're so good and wise, you would never open a door, even if I ask that is not right. And Lord, I've been asking, but you haven't answered yet. And so, Lord, I thank you because when you tell me no, I know this, that you're not telling me no because you're holding back. You're telling me no because there's bread that you have. And I don't need a stone. I'm trusting you to give me bread. So Jesus tells about the imperative of prayer and the influence of prayer. That as we pray, our God gives us bread and fish. Our God opens doors. Our God closes doors. Our God delays doors. He does so as we pray. And when you get discouraged and you say, well, God isn't answering my prayer the way I want him to answer my prayer. He's not doing it when, and I don't see what God is doing. Listen, understand what Jesus is telling us. Is that even though you don't catch it right now, just keep praying and keep asking because your prayers do make a difference. And I'm still working in ways you may or may not see. So Jesus tells about the illustrations of prayer, the imperative of prayer, the influence of prayer. And then I want to close out our time together today with this. I want to just share with you some very, I think, helpful ways that you can begin to improve your prayer life and to grow in your prayer life. And so I'll share with you the implementation of prayer. The implementation of prayer. Number one is this, the first implementation, or it's really a powerful application, is pray personally. So you look in verse 7, the understood subject is you. But in verse 7, notice how Jesus does this. Ask and it shall be given you. And you ask, you'll be given. You seek, and ye shall find. These personal pronouns. And you knock, and it shall be opened to you. Verse 7 is the personal pronouns in verse 8. So that God says it's time for you to understand that you must pray personally. Now, there is a place for corporate prayer. And I'm telling you, it was powerful and precious for the people that were here Wednesday to pray. It was just beautiful. Really, it was. But there's a place for corporate prayer. But did you know that churches do not pray? Families do not pray. Nations do not pray. Individuals pray. A praying church is a church where the individuals of that church are people that seek God in prayer. A praying nation is a nation where individuals seek God in prayer. A praying family is when the members of that family seek God in prayer. Pray personally. And so for your life, how can I begin in a greater way talking with God about the things that are on my heart? Pray personally, and what will it mean for you in a very practical way as you begin tomorrow? Or how about this? Let's start today. Why not? Pray personally. Next, pray particularly. Now, why is it that Jesus, when he illustrated prayer, used very common things like fish and bread. Well, because they were just that. Things that you needed for everyday life to survive. Those common things. And so you're praying, Lord, would you give me something? I want some bread today. How about some fish? And when you pray, how about if you have the faith to believe God and begin to pray specifically? Because when you pray specifically, then you know when God answered. If your prayer is so general that you don't know if God answered it or not, my friend, you're missing out what Jesus wants you to experience. Pray specifically, and that way, if Jesus says to you, no, you know he said no, and you can rejoice he said no. If you say, you pray so specifically that you know Jesus said yes and answered my prayer, you can rejoice he answered my prayer. Lord, bless my family, my church, my preacher. Those are wonderful prayers. The missionaries, my co-workers, those are wonderful prayers. But how about if we get very specific? Would you bless my co-workers by doing this in their lives, opening their hearts to give me a chance to share Jesus with them? There's a particular need your coworker has, and you're praying with that coworker. Would you bless my church family? And there's something very specific. You're praying for our church family, and your heart is so warm for God and for your church. And so begin to ask God specifically, would you do this? Would you do this? Would you do this? Now, can I tell you, this takes faith. Praying, Lord, bless everybody, takes very little faith. But to be bold enough to ask God to give specific answers to your requests, so much so that you know when he answers that prayer. Now that makes prayer an adventure. So pray specifically. And then, here's the third application, pray persistently. Now, in the Greek language, there's a couple ways that imperatives, commands are given. And they have different meanings. So one of the ways is the command is given, and it's a one-time command. You just do it. So let's say that you have a book. And I say to you, oh, would you hand me that book? I'm not asking you to keep handing it to me. I mean, I just want, would you hand it to me? So I reach out and I take that book. Once you ask, you don't need to ask again. It's done. The other way the language of the New Testament describes it is that you ask, but it isn't just a one-time ask. It's a just, I keep asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And when Jesus in this passage tells us about prayer, he says, it's this way. It's like you just keep asking and asking and asking. And you keep seeking and seeking and seeking. And you keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And as you keep asking and asking and asking and seeking and seeking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, as you do that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you answers to your prayer. I'm going to show you open doors as an answer to your prayer. I'm going to even show you closed doors. But I will continually let you experience me answering prayer in your life. But those answers just don't happen sometimes right away. That's why we keep asking, because God is working in a way that is far beyond our capacity to understand. And he works through time, but he's working in so many ways over time so that that request that we ask, we may not experience the blessing, the adventure of the answer of that prayer unless we just keep asking and patiently wait on him to work. And you know, I could, anything that we've talked about today, but even in this, I could ask for a word of testimony, how you watched God do this in your life, and you could say, yeah, I kept praying, and it took a long time, but in God's time, he answered that prayer. He made it clear. I didn't know what the answer was, but he showed me in time, and I watched him over time. And that's why Jesus says, just keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. So don't ever give up praying. Don't give up. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided my child. You didn't knock. I woke up early one morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. In a moment, we'll give you a chance to, we'll invite you to respond. But before we do that in a public way, I'm going to invite you to respond right now. You and the Lord. If you are a born-again believer by faith in Jesus Christ, I hope you've been encouraged to pray. I don't want you to feel like, I'm not that great of a prayer. Listen, that's not the point. The point is, he wants you to pray. Take heart. I wonder if you yet do not know Jesus. You've not been born again by placing your faith in Christ. He wants you to come into his forever family. Right now, in the place where you sit, in the quietness of this moment, you can say, Lord Jesus, oh, I'm so sorry for my sin. I'm thankful that you died and rose again for all people and for me particularly. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life and save me. And friend, when you call out, he will. So just a moment, we'll have a time of invitation. And when we do so, we have people here that are, you want to pray, they're here to pray with you. You have questions, they'll answer questions. They'll direct you to someone who can serve and bless you as you're making important decisions. You received Christ, or you have questions about, you want someone to lead you to Christ. We have people waiting to help you in that next step in your spiritual life. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and we'll pray. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would do your work and will in each of our lives. And so we commit these moments to you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.